FM 90.3 WJTL with Sidewalk Profits and Prodigal. Our time is 11:32. John Shirk with you, and joining me on the line right now, it's a great honor to have an opportunity to connect with a former Philadelphia Eagles place kicker inducted into the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. David Akers joins us today. Good morning, David. Thanks for checking in with us today.
Good morning. How are you all doing today?
Doing very well. I'm sure you get questions about your NFL career all the time, and you know what? I'm going to be no different.
That's all right.
How long were you the place kicker for the Eagles?
I was with the Eagles for 12 years. Finished up kind of the majority of that, of my 16-year tenure with the Niners in Detroit, and finished up that in the 2013 season. But had a great time in Philadelphia. The people around, I guess, that tri-state area just changed my life. The Eagles obviously did for giving me an opportunity when so many wouldn't give me a chance. But just being able to play with some of the greats within the NFL, not only as the Eagle, but like, you know, Brian Dawkins, Troy Vincent, obviously guys like Donovan McNabb and Brian Westbrook, and the list goes on and on. Just incredible men. But, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that we had a great brotherhood of great Christian brothers that would meet collectively on Monday nights for different wives and husband Bible studies. We would meet on Thursdays. And then, obviously, the team chapel would be Sunday morning. And so we had a connection with some guys that were just, you know, pretty amazing, just to kind of help each other grow as men. And what I see now kind of with the Eagles is that same sort of leadership in the Christian brothers that they, especially the year they won the Super Bowl, you know, when you have guys, obviously Carson Wentz, who's right out in the forefront, but, you know, during that time you had Trey Burton and you had Jordan Hicks and Chris Maragos, just to name a few. Wisniewski is another one. And obviously, you know, those guys are impacting the locker room. And then, of course, you can't forget Nick Foles, Nicky Six, for what he did not only on the field, but how strong he was in his faith off the field. So I was very fortunate to be around a great group of guys. But, you know, I'm very excited to get up in the Lancaster area here in a couple of weeks and kind of share some of the story.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. I am curious about your journey to the NFL. Many people dream of it. Few make it. What was your pathway there?
Well, it's funny. I'm going to talk a little bit about this on November 2nd, but the reality is I was undrafted, and I got cut by three different teams before I actually made it. And your statistical chances of making it as an undrafted free agent is very slim in the NFL. So not only getting cut once, but twice, a third time after being undrafted, is pretty much unprecedented to be able to make it in the NFL. So it was I felt very fortunate for the opportunity to be able to continue to try. I had a wife that was very supportive of that. She was a few years older than me and had more of a stable job, and I was waiting tables and substitute teaching and things of that nature to help kind of with subsidies as far as money goes to help her out. But overall, just I felt like I was close and at times was ready to give up. So I'm going to talk about perseverance, how to kind of push through when, you know, there's a time and like, well, okay, well, maybe I'm not good enough. And people believe in you and you got the surrounding team around you that can help you and encourage you and hold you accountable if need be, if at the point where like, hey, you need to quit chasing his pipe dream and, you know, really start providing for your wife. You know, that never even happened at that point because people still believed that I had an opportunity. But understanding, you know, how we had to persevere not only in our personal lives but in our spiritual lives as well. So that's going to be kind of part of it, you know, as far as talking about how I made it and some of the stories of guys that I've been able to play with. But along that same way, another kind of topic that I like talking about, and what makes you push through by getting cut three different times? Sure, you have perseverance, but the idea is to understand that there's a passion behind it. And I'm not going to give away the description or the definition, if you will, of passion on the air. I'm going to do that on November the 2nd, so you got to come out for that. But I'm really curious what people think the definition of passion actually is. And I'll ask you right now if you think it, and I'll say yes or no. You can actually look it up when we're done. But it's a lot of fun to kind of talk about it, because one thing I say when I ask the question, they seem to people, and I'll give you a chance to talk, but the question generally of, hey, how do you define passion? Well, the reality is a lot of people have a tough time putting a word or vernacular to it, if you will, but they seem to understand it when they see it. And so it's displayed. And so some of the different ways I like to talk to these people about, how do you realize what passion is, and how do you define it, and how do you experience in your life? So that kind of goes in, you know, on a biblical sense, obviously. Yeah. So let me ask you, what do you think passion is?
Well, the two words come to mind. One is the word zeal, and another word that comes to my mind is enthusiasm.
And you are right in that regard.
Yeah.
It's not the original definition, though.
Which you will define Saturday, November 2nd, right?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Let's go over the details of your speaking engagement. David Akers, speaking at Highland Presbyterian Church in Lancaster, Saturday, November 2nd. And the starting time for that is 7 in the evening. There will, I understand, be a meet and greet opportunity beforehand at 6:15. You might possibly get David's autograph. Is that true, David?
Sure, of course. Anybody who wants to get a signature would be more than happy to stand around and talk about life and hear everybody's story. But, you know, sure, take pictures and sign stuff. I'm sorry if I'm making the value of something go down by signing it, but absolutely be willing to do that.
Well, in the literature I saw, it said that you might be available for autographs. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's why I checked with you. Go to eventbrite.com
Absolutely.
To get ticket information. That is event, B-R-I-T-E. I typed in David's name in the search engine there, and the event comes up for you to see. Well, you've given us a good idea of what you're going to be talking about. What has life been like for you after football? What are you doing in this stage of life?
Well, I do quite a bit of these speaking engagements around the country. I'm also an ambassador for a hospital chain in the Allentown area called St. Luke's Hospital. So I spend a lot of time dealing with them. I also do a pregame radio kind of kickoff, if you will, for iHeartRadio for the Eagles home games. Mm-hmm. I do some real estate down in the Nashville area. That's where I currently reside. So I do quite a bit of that. I also help coach high school football, where my son is a senior playing football. And so I stay busy. I feel like I hustle all the time.
Yeah.
As I said to you before we got online, I was out this morning getting my daughter her permit for her. You know, she's 15 now down here in Tennessee, and watch out, she's driving on the road now. So, and then I have a younger 11-year-old boy who's into lacrosse, and he's a big water skier like me, so we have a lot of dad and son time with doing that. So we're just a very active family, spending time with the kids and enjoying life, and ultimately, you know, just trying to see them, you know, kind of get down their path and kind of guide them there, and enjoying every moment I can exactly with those kiddos, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like life has not slowed down for you at all. Curious, so, you know, while I have you on the line, what are your thoughts about the Eagles team this year?
Well, it just depends on the week you're watching them. I will say right now, they don't have an identity as far as what they really are. The defense has had a struggle as far as getting to the quarterback. And so when you do that and you allow the quarterbacks to stand back there and just kind of pick apart your secondary that has struggled, to say the least, it makes for a long day. That's where guys that may not be the most elite of quarterbacks look elite. And so one thing it's tough to swallow is that, you know, they beat the Packers in a very incredible game on Thursday night a couple weeks ago, but then, you know, you can't forget the fact that they lost to the Falcons, who are 1-5, and their only win, obviously, is against the Eagles. So there's a lot of, like, who is this team, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think the world of Doug Peterson. I think he'll be able to get guys, you know, going in the right direction. I just feel that right now, because of injuries in the secondary and a little bit of lacking in ability at sometimes in that secondary, at least in the way they're playing, at least showing it in the way they play right now,
It's going to be tough to win games unless we can get that fixed.
Makes me wonder if things might turn around if DeSean Jackson returns to the lineup. Do you think that might have some impact?
Well, absolutely. I mean, DeSean stretches the field. I mean, you have a little bit of that with Alshon. And when he was not, you know, DeSean only played in that first game and played very well that game. But you have to be able to stretch the field to open up some of those other weapons. When DeSean and Alshon were out, you were seeing Zach Ertz getting doubled. So that takes away, you know, that opportunity. So then we had some of the younger wide receivers trying to get, you know, a little bit more of the ball. And that was not that great of a game. And when you start looking at the Detroit Lions game, because that's what kind of happened there. But seeing Sanders and Howard kind of splitting the time at back, Sanders doing a really good job coming out and getting some good receiving yards. So offensively, I think we're close to being able to do what we need to do, but we just can't let teams score at will, basically. It seems like they're doing quite a bit of that right now. And, you know, obviously the game against the Jets, you know, we should have won that game, and we did. And we did very well defensively. Actually had two scores on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
But we really didn't do much after the first couple drives offensively in that game. So when you kind of take that out, it really wasn't that great of a win, even though they did win 31-6.
Right.
So I do think the world of the team, and I bleed green, so I'm saying this as a fan's perspective and inside as a player. You know, you got to look in the mirror, like Lane Johnson said, and you look at yourself first. You kind of scout yourself, and then you keep pushing forward to say, you know, yes, we're going to have to go out and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to be able to come together and just play how we know how we can play. There's no panic in the locker room. The fans may be, but there's no panic in the locker room. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating talking with you, David Akers. Thank you for taking time to talk with us. And just a reminder about your speaking engagement coming up. Still opportunity to get tickets for this event, I understand. David Akers at Highland Presbyterian Church in Lancaster, Saturday, November 2nd, 7 p.m. Check it out, eventbrite.com. Glad to hear from you, David. Hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me on. You'll have a great one as well.
All right. Thank you. 11:44. Back to the music now with Planet Shakers with